Welcome back. Well, South Africa runs the risk of sliding deeper into junk status. Moody's, Fitch, and now S&P Global also has the country's credit rating outlook on negative. S&P, which already has the country's overall credit rating at junk status, foresees a rapid worsening of the country's debt metrics on account of tepid GDP growth, upwardly revised fiscal deficits, and the rising government debt burden as well. Ravi Bhatia, who's director of sovereign ratings at S&P Global, joins us on the line now with greater perspective on their decision. Thanks so much, Ravi, for your time this evening. So like I say, we've had S&P cutting South Africa's credit outlook to negative from stable. Is this just the precursor to another downgrade?
A negative outlook by S&P means there's an at least 1 in 3 chance of a downgrade. So it doesn't mean that a downgrade is definitely coming. It means it's an at least 1 in 3 chance. So, I mean, it really depends how the growth and fiscal trajectory pan out going forward and what measures are included in the budget to stem the worsening fiscal and debt metrics, essentially.
Well, Ravi, S&P clearly not seeing enough being done at this stage of the game. What are you most discouraged by as far as the challenges South Africa is not tackling effectively enough right now is concerned?
Well, I think at the very heart of it is the issue around very low GDP growth, which given the rise in population, it basically translates to a flat or negative GDP growth per capita. On the back of that, we haven't seen significant reforms that have actually delivered a change in the growth trajectory. And South Africa's burdened by the SOEs and also an insider-outsider labor market with a lot of union power, which then kind of thwarts movement to change the dynamics on the SOEs. So altogether, that has also affected the fiscal story because of the big transfers to Eskom on the expenditure side. And on the revenue side, it's really been the low growth which has impacted tax revenues, and they came in also quite poor.
Yeah. Ravi, I want to hone in on Eskom for a moment there, because that, at the moment, the biggest risk to the economy. We have started to see some movement at the parastatal, a new CEO having been appointed to handle the unbundling of Eskom. What's your view on the developments that we are seeing there as it gets its 59 billion rand bailout?
Well, I mean, I think, the bailout only covers its current needs. I mean, I'm not the Eskom analyst there. We have another analyst on Eskom.
Yeah.
But essentially, from a sovereign point of view, it's a transfer which has impacted the sovereign metrics and cost the fiscal a lot. But on the Eskom side, it's really just helping them pay their debts and tick along somewhat. So the question is whether the plans will lead to a comprehensive turnaround in Eskom and then eventually some sort of stability or at very best case profitability, which then makes it no longer a contingent liability for the government.
Mm-hmm. Ravi, with those metrics glaring, to what extent did the handling of the strike at SAA and what SAA offered employees on condition hold sway, with it being, of course, a barometer of sorts of the tough stance government is willing to take as far as tackling, for one, the government wage bill?
Well, I mean, if we look over the past few years, the unions have typically managed to get an above inflation pay rise. This is in a scenario of a country with significant high unemployment. We saw the high unemployment numbers come in. So, they've managed repeatedly to get above inflation pay rises. And that's part of the metrics that have affected the public sector wage bill has affected the fiscal metrics. So, that continues to be a cost to the fiscal. So they're, you know, they either have to find revenues or savings elsewhere or tackle this at some point.
Of course, amidst it all, we have had the kind of investment commitments being made by the private sector trumpeted about by the Ramaphosa administration. What does that mean in your books, you know, that we've got investment commitments moving closer to the 1.1 trillion rand mark? Does it mean anything at all?
I think that's one of the bright spots that the investment conferences have actually gone reasonably well. But as you know, this is a standard format that is used in the Middle East. And what tends to happen is the pledges are rather grand, but then the question is whether they're actually going to translate into real projects or it's just a headline pledge that then disintegrates along the line. And the other question is how much of this is already projects that were already in the pipeline. I think on the mining front, some of those projects were already in the pipeline. And we're going to be invested anyway, so it's not necessarily additional investment. But certainly, I think that was one of the bright spots, and it should help the growth story.
Well, fingers crossed. Ravi, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Ravi Bhatia is Director of Sovereign Ratings at S&P Global.